Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG pod overflow, the Cinephobe cold opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
Said the OG pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're going to get Amin in those, so you got to listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Haliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP. That's 1-800-639-8783. Or text NEXT STEP to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Welcome to another fun-filled episode of Black Opinions Matter, motherfucker. My name is Amin Alhassan. I'm joined, as always, by Black Trey and Big Jerv. Got a lot to get to today. We've got the season finale of Atlanta, question mark, or the season finale of Brown Mirror, as Mari likes to call it. Don't know. I guess the good news is we've got a character-centric episode. Nah, we'll talk about it. We'll also talk about this week. It was the 50th birthday of Christopher Wallace, a.k.a. Biggie Smalls, a.k.a. the Notorious B.I.G., a.k.a. the greatest rapper of all time. We'll also talk about Justin Tinsley's book, about the greatest rapper of all time that just came out in stores. Justin couldn't be here today because he's too busy doing a book tour. Oh, look at me. I'm Justin Tinsley. I'm on Good Morning America. I don't have time for old bum. The show that inspired this whole thing to begin with. But no, we'll talk about that. We'll also talk about... Oh, man. I ain't gonna do it. I supercharge it. I ain't going to do that to my man. It's funny, but I ain't going to do it to him. But first... Oh, we're going to talk about Trey. We're going to talk about Trey's weekend. Trey was out here, Tiger hooding it up, and I could sense the jealousy off of Jerv. Not because Trey was golfing, but because Trey had the fit top to bottom. But first, www.patreon.com/countthedings. It's where you get all the excess content that we put out there. I'm talking about the Bomb Overflow episodes we're doing. We Own This City. Boy, that episode 4 was tough, and we'll be revealing it and reviewing it on the Bomb Overflow on Tuesday when you catch this. So make sure definitely you are subscribed on that. Also, we do the watch-alongs. Apologies for last week. Zach and I had to do radio, so we couldn't do our watch-along for the movie Lawnmower Man. We're going to be doing it, I believe, this upcoming week. So be on the lookout for that email there if you're Patreon. But if you're not a Patreon, www.patreon.com/countthedings. Sign up. Make sure you're getting this content, getting it in your, you get alerts in your inbox. You don't even have to worry about checking our Twitter or any of that stuff. It comes straight to you. Make sure you're part of that. Trey, you went golfing. Is that your first time golfing?
Third
time golfing. Third time in the last, what, last year, last 10 years?
Nah, last year, honestly. Yeah, it's been a year. Not even a year, probably like eight, nine months.
And so how did you get into golfing?
So I actually was trying to hoop, man, and my body just was not responding how I wanted to respond. Obviously, I'm still coming off a broke leg. So I couldn't really do what I wanted to do, and it was just kind of like I was in pain. And, you know, you still want to be active, and that's not the way that you want to, like, be walking kind of crazy. So I decided to, you know what I mean, go out there and choose golf instead of everything else. I actually looked into tennis too.
Yeah, I just don't – is golf, like, does that satisfy, like, an athletic urge for you? I don't know, man.
Yeah, it does. It's competitive. I think it's – It's a teachable moment, but once you kind of get at least decent at it, I think it's fun because you're competing and it has like that same drive. Very lengthy. Like I was on the course yesterday for about 5 hours.
Yeah. It's your day.
18 holes. So it was definitely one of those things, but it was a lot of trash talk. I mean, I'm in Queens, Wild Hood, and you know me, I try to not think racist. But then I also look at love, and there was one dude that rolled by. He pulled up in the cart and was like, "Lower your socks. You might play better, but you look terrible out there." And I'm like, "Damn."
I don't know if I should be laughing because that might be racist, but that was
might funny. Be racist, but I will accept it as great trash talk above racist. Might be racist. It's true.
I took it as great trash talk. You know what I mean? But it caught me off guard because I didn't talk to this man. I hadn't said anything. I had my Supreme socks on, I guess. And that's the thing I've learned. I think everybody knows how it is, right? There's a swagger or an etiquette for everything on how you should look, right? Mm-hmm. And I didn't know that no-show socks when you're wearing shorts is a thing in golf. I hate no-show socks showing the ball of my ankles. Like, I just think it's just kind of the... It's kind of the white boy hooper look, but on a course, it's no show. And I didn't do my Googles. I just wore some like mids, crew socks, and just kind of slouched them down a little bit. And it just, I guess, drove every other golfer on the, because you could see white socks from afar, no matter what you're looking at. And niggas is just disgusting.
can I be honest with you? When I saw the clip, the first thing I noticed was your socks. Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna lie to you. I was like, damn, Trey probably should have threw some ankle joints on.
I don't even own ankle socks, brother. I'm not gonna lie to you.
I really don't either.
I love the idea of like Jerv. And now here comes, well, let's open the lane for Jerv. Golf swag etiquette, you know. Jerv can't help you with your game, Trey. Can't help you shave some off your handicap or whatever. But what he can do is tell you about your attire. Jerv, please take the stage.
So, I mean, I was highly impressed with the attire. You know what I mean? Trey had everything rocking. As far as, you know, he had the polo. It was tucked in, I believe, right? You had the cargo. You had like some those would be considered cargos, correct?
They're golf cargos.
Were those khaki shorts? I felt like they were khaki shorts.
So they're noted as, the title is golf cargo. There's no cargo, but there's a zip pocket for my ball and tee.
Okay. So we were wearing the right shorts, and then you didn't come out with. Which I see a lot of African Americans come out with in the early stages of golf. You didn't come out with the fitted hat on. You came out with the proper golf hat, you know, and you had, you know, like it was, so Trey was cool, but then I looked down and then I was like, oh, okay. I've been there, right? The socks was way too high. You know what I'm saying? Listen, bro, I don't do the no shows. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't do no shows, but you got to do the ankles. You know what I mean? And then, you know, the shoe, very impressive.
What was the shoe?
I wore Nike, you know, Humira Terra, you know what I mean? Terra Humira. It's a trail shoe, but I'm at a public course, which everyone's wearing shoes. Not everybody was, you know, soft cleated up. So I didn't care about that too much. Shout out to my folks at Adidas Golf, who's getting me lit, by the way. My package just didn't land. The Eagle did not land in time. I really wasn't about to like let anybody know that I was golfing. I just played well for my third time. I mean, I putted really good. I mean, no, but you know, my chip game is good. My drive is not. I actually hit it like, I think it was like 17th. I hit it over the pond, right? And that's very fucking hard. Like, you know what I mean? So like, getting certain things, it was a teachable moment, but it was a lot of times like I'm so competitive that I would have fucking Bo Jackson the club over my knee.
But you know what's funny, Trey, is watching you look comfortable out there. Like, I wouldn't have guessed that was your third time ever playing golf. Mm-hmm. I know I don't look like whenever I'm like playing golf or try to play golf, which is almost never, but like when I'm playing putt-putt, I guess would be the closest thing. I look awkward. I look like someone who's never done this shit before. And so you actually look like, yeah, man, like, I know what I'm doing out here. Like, I couldn't tell by the video whether you were trash, like, or you were, like, killing it out there or not, other than the one where you put it in.
I'm very honest with everybody. I mean, and everybody's been, like, words of encouragement. Even when I was leaving the course, because we golfed with my friend, mutual friend, I mean, Kelly golfs.
Yeah.
So Kelly took me out there, and, you know, she's probably the only person I know that would be patient with me. You know what I mean? Like, I golfed with my landlord before, and he was just so frustrated with me. Like, bro, like
– how did it get impatient? Like
– well, I mean, you know, you're trying – like, I kept hitting the top of the ball when I golfed with him, right?
Right.
You want to get under. You want
to kind of
scoop it, right? And also, sometimes my habits were like going like baseball instead of keeping my arm straight. And now I used to play baseball, so that's a bad habit that you kind of have to eliminate. So when you're learning the game, you want to learn it the right way and not pick up bad habits, you know, because it's just like shooting a jumper wrong. And like now I'm trying to make the pros and I got this nasty form.
But you know what's funny to me is that I played basketball with people who don't play basketball before, like friends of mine. And when you do... like, we all know, all right, like, let that motherfucker shoot or whatever. Like, mess around a little bit. Don't go too hard. You just kind of go through the flow. I don't understand why golfers are like, oh, this nigga doesn't know how to play. Like, well, nigga, you knew I couldn't play when we came out here. That wasn't no secret. I didn't tell you I was fucking nice at this shit. And then all of a sudden, I'm fucking shit in the bed. So, like,
I think the problem is, especially while we were out there, it's because you have a tee time. And there's constant people behind you, and you have to keep up with the pace of the course. And it's like, it's not like free grass. Like in Arizona, I think you can just, you know how you'd be driving around like Hayden or one of those random streets, and you see people just golfing a free area?
Yeah.
They don't have that out here. You really have to go to like a public course and you have to follow that. But then they're expecting people that know how to play to book. So like even while we were golfing, I wasn't really holding them up, but it was three people ahead of us that were holding us up. And then of course the guy driving the cart, and this is when I felt like a little racial tension because he came to me directly. And I'm like, okay, what's up, bro? I have to wait. I can't hit any further because they're still on the, you know, they're on the course ahead. So we have to wait. You know what I mean? And one time I'm golfing and I'm feeling the pressure of dude just watching me in the cart. And he's like, slow. And he's coaching me up now. And I'm like, bro, like this not going to help me like hit it any further, right, bro. Like I'm just trying to learn this shit the possible way. So like, I'm going to have to go to a driving range and just hit that way to get my drive game right. Or when nobody really out there, which I highly doubt that's going to happen since the weather's starting to get better. You know what I mean? Yeah. So like, but like I said, I had a great time. I don't get happy about a lot of shit. I was happy. I felt like a little ass kid figuring out, like, you know, you make your first shot. Yeah. Like I had some moments out there where I was excited. You know what I'm saying? That made me want to go back out there and play. It wasn't like crazy intimidating. And also when I'm trying to learn new shit, I make myself ultra vulnerable. And I'm aware that I am a novice to it. I don't never go in thinking I already know some shit, and I allow myself to be teachable. So like, I think that helped Kelly teach me and be patient with me. And, you know, the positive words of like forward progress, even if that shit didn't get a hell of air, you know what I mean? On the drive or whatever, it was like more so just getting the motion and fundamentals of that shit. So like, I mean, for my third time, I got a lot of positive feedback online. I just shared it because I thought it was a cool moment for myself. But a lot of people were like, oh, you're not nice. And I'm like, oh, I'm not. I'm not, my nigga. I didn't never say that. Yo, I just said, like,
I love us. You know what I mean? I love us. They take, nah, yo, we white. Can take any it was, moment.
It was like white people hyped too. Oh, shit. But then it was also like a secret golf community coming out like, hey, bro, next time you're in the city, let's golf. And I'm like, for real? All right, nigga, cool. Like, you know what I mean?
I'm gonna tell you right now, man. I took golf one semester at ASU, 16-week semester, and it was supposed to. It starts with like you learning how to hit the ball off the tee, and then it transitions to mid game, and then the green. And the idea was at the end of 16 weeks, you could play like 9 holes of golf, like, and know how to handle yourself or whatever. Maybe not be good, but at least know how, right? And the class was probably split. Half the class was motherfuckers that play golf, and so they're like, oh, this is an easy 3 credits, A, right? And the other half was people like me, like, yo, I don't know how to golf, but, like, I figure everyone says, like, this is some shit that you should learn. So I'm like, cool, I'll do it. And it was me, a couple of dudes, and some girls, right? And at the beginning, all of us new people were all trash at it, obviously, and the people who play golf were great at it. And as the semester went on, like, people got better, and I just stayed bad. I went the whole 16 weeks. I still didn't know how to hit it off a tee. 16 weeks, bro, of either swinging and missing or hitting the ground and getting, like, fucking electrocuted by hitting the ground too hard. And I'm like, this shit sucks. It's a dumbass fucking game. Like, I don't understand. They're trying to like give me instruction on my stance. Like, oh, do it like you're in a batter's box. Like, I've never fucking played baseball. Well, do it like, I'm like, I've never played that sport too. I don't play like, I don't know what you're talking about. And it was just a garbage experience. So here's the deal. Usually when I do these ad reads, I've never really tried the product until they became sponsors, and then they give us samples and I try them and then I endorse them. I'm not trying to make it seem like it's fake. It's real. I've tried them and I like them, but it's not like I've ever used these things before they became sponsors. Today's a little different. Credit Karma. I'm telling you right now, I've used Credit Karma to fix my credit, to figure out what the problematic things on my credit report was, to pay those things off, to get a loan in order to pay off some of those things, to apply for credit cards, to get credit cards I'll qualify for, to take care of them the right way, and then to make sure I level up. Credit Karma uses your credit data to find loan offers that are personalized to you so you can have a better idea of what loan amount you can get approved for. Credit Karma will even show your chances of approval so you can choose between loan offers that you're more likely to get approved for and apply with more confidence. I've done this, ladies and gentlemen, and it absolutely works. Comparing loan offers on Credit Karma is 100% free, and best of all, it won't affect your credit scores and can save you money. Credit Karma, apply with more confidence today. I am talking to you as someone who has fixed his credit using Credit Karma before they ever paid me to do this stuff right now. That's right. Ready to apply? Head to creditkarma.com/loan offers to see personalized offers. Go to creditkarma.com/loan offers to find the loan for you. That's creditkarma.com/loan offers. Do you identify as crypto curious? If you thought about entering the world of cryptocurrency but felt a little overwhelmed, Coinbase makes learning to buy and sell simple. Cryptocurrency might feel like a secret exclusive club, but Coinbase believes that everyone, everywhere should be able to get in the door. Whether you've been trading for years or just getting started, Coinbase can help. Coinbase offers a trusted and easy-to-use platform to buy, sell, and spend cryptocurrency. They support the most popular digital currencies on the market and make them accessible to everyone. They offer portfolio management and protection, learning resources, and a mobile app so you can trade securely and monitor your crypto all in one place. Millions of people in over 100 countries trust Coinbase with their digital assets. Whether you're looking to diversify, just getting started, or searching for a better way to access crypto markets, start today with Coinbase. And for a limited time, new users can get $10 in free Bitcoin when you sign up today at coinbase.com/BOMM. Sign up at coinbase.com/BOMM for $10 in free Bitcoin. This offer is for a limited time only, so be sure to sign up today. That's coinbase.com/BOMM. But I want to go back to you being told, pull up your socks to play better, or pull down your socks to play better, which might be racist, but also is hilarious trash talk. And I want to transition to a story that comes to us from baseball, where Tim Anderson of the White Sox struck out or something like that. And as he's going, the Josh Donaldson on the other team says some shit like, you'll get him next time, Jackie, meaning Jackie Robinson. Now, backstory, Tim Anderson, who is very much not like a regular baseball player. First of all, he's black, so we could start there. But second of all, he's talked about a few years ago in an interview how he wants to be the Jackie Robinson of making baseball fun and cool, meaning celebrating and doing bat flips and all this shit that, like, we all, like, look at baseball like, really? Y'all don't do any of that shit? Like, he wants to be the guy that brings that back, so to speak. He wants to be the Jackie Robinson of that. And so Josh Donaldson, talking shit after the motherfucker struck out, said, oh, all right, well, you get him next time, Jackie. Which I guess Tim Anderson at that moment got upset, and Tony La Russa, the head coach or the manager of the Chicago White Sox, said it was absolutely racist. And I got to tell y'all, man, I don't think it was racist. I think it was just great trash talk.
I was going to say, if they had a relationship, especially when he mentioned that, and I caught a little bit of brief of it. It was like, they had an insider joke going between those two.
Right.
So, like, I think he was just more so frustrated that he didn't have a great game and kind of reacted how he wanted to react. But like for La Russa, he probably should have stopped La Russa. Like, look, man, I got the best of myself. And like, I'm not that flustered because like we've joked around like this in the past. Especially him saying that he wanted, especially him publicly saying that he wants to be the Jackie Robinson of entertainment of baseball. You have to be able to take it. It wasn't like, oh, you the only black player now, but just stick at you. You know what I mean? Like, he's the only active black player now, and I'm going to call him, you know, let's get it, Jackie. You know what I mean? But, like, well, he's poking fun at it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, how's that entertainment thing going?
But also, you know what's funny? It took me back to playing pickup ball, and niggas just had, like, wild-ass nicknames for people, man. There was a dude, I used to pick up at Georgia Tech. There was a dude who was a grad student. He was Eastern European of some kind. We don't know where, the Eastern European of some kind, and was like 6'2 or whatever. So niggas called him Vladdy. And I'm not talking about like, yo, I got Vladdy. I'm talking about like They called Vladdy. What's up? Like, he showed up to call Vladdy. What's good, man? And like, that man's name wasn't Vladdy. Everybody just called him Vladdy, man. Like, it's just one of those things, man. Like, there's an OG on the court, and yeah, kind of balled him and called that nigga World Be Free, man. Like, that's just like, that's just part of like fucking sports trash talk. It's just like, you fucking call people names, man. And like, would that shit fly in corporate America? Probably not. But the idea is, like, when you're playing sports, it's a little different. Now, if you say, hey, nigger baby, or whatever, okay, that's different. Yeah. That's fucking racist. But calling people names, like, you call someone short Arnold Drummond, like, I don't think that's fucking racist, even if you're white and you're saying it to a black guy. You're saying it because it's just fucking, that's how people talk in sports. Am I wrong on this?
No, I don't think you're wrong on it.
What's the funniest shit you ever heard someone get called on the court?
Hello, listener. Guess who's back? It's me, Anthony Mays, your favorite butcher-turned-podcast producer, and I'm here to talk to you about ButcherBox. ButcherBox is the most convenient way to get high-quality meat and seafood that you can trust delivered straight to your doorstep, free shipping, vacuum-sealed packaging. It's ready to go right then. It's ready to pop in the freezer. You get exclusive member deals and a variety of high quality cuts at an amazing value. Going to the grocery store can be a huge pain. You're usually in a rush at an inconvenient time. You're waiting in line at the meat counter. You're taking a number. Maybe this place doesn't have a number. You're jostling with fellow customers. You're trying to get that ribeye that you want or that nice piece of salmon. Maybe the butcher that you're dealing with has a bad attitude or something. I don't know. That was never me, I promise. But maybe it happens. ButcherBox takes all of that out of the picture. You are always prepared with meat and seafood in the freezer, and you're not going to find quality for this price anywhere else other than ButcherBox. So sign up at butcherbox.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S, and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. You can choose salmon, chicken breasts, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/dings and use code DINGS, D-I-N-G-S, to choose your free for a year offer plus get $20 off your first order. Hello, listener. I'm sure you don't need me to tell you that we at Cinephobe love our pets. Zach and Boogie are inseparable. I've got two cats and a dog, and Amin is giving his best ass on performance to convince dog owners that he loves their pet.
Hey, little, hey, boy, how you doing? And Noodle's just like,
ah, whatever. Which is why today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. For many pet parents, summer is all about making travel plans like adventuring through the national parks, visiting pet-friendly beaches, or road tripping across the country. Wherever your journeys take you and your furry friend, you can help protect them along the way with the plan from ASPCA Pet Health Insurance. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customizable accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they may need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are, because vet bills can really add up, especially when you're least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim, and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/dings. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/dings. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer and is not engaged in the business of insurance.
I don't know. I find everything funny. So I've heard some shit. So
give us some shit. That's what I'm saying. Give us some shit.
Oh, so somebody said, and this shit wasn't even funny, dog. Like, it was stupid. Like, we're in like,
most of this shit is stupid, but it's,
we're in Indianapolis, bro. Like, we're playing. I'm playing at Waldorf, and we're on the road, and they shut down the entire town for this fucking game, right? I think they were like number one, and they say, "Hey, number four, you got number three on your shoes. Like, you don't know how to, you don't know how to read?" And I look like, "What, nigga? What does that even mean, right?" And then I'm shooting free throws. This is another time. It's the second half, and the crowd's like, nigger, nigger. Yeah. And like my coach is like, he a white coach, by the way. He don't even know how to even respond. He didn't pull the players. He let us play through it. But I'm shooting free throws, and I started laughing because I've never dealt with racism. I'm from Atlanta, right. Bro. Like, we don't right, be right. dealing with that firsthand shit, but this is Midwest.
Right, right, right.
Indiana. And niggas, I'm bouncing the ball, and niggas, the crowd is like, nigger, nigger. And I had to stop my mid-dribble on me during my free throw routine.
You turn and look.
We're up like 7, by the way, with like 2 minutes to go. This is not like, you know what I mean? Like, it's not televised. This is like NAIA D1. You know what I'm saying? Small ball. The game's like,
you know what I always wonder when shit like that happens? Like, what does the other team do?
They probably rock with it.
The black,
that's probably how they think too.
I remember it was one black bro on the team. I'm like, bro, how do you even do this shit? Like how?
Oh wait, there was a black person on that team. I just assumed it was an all white squad.
Nah. It's a black dude. It was a black dude on the team. But like, I'm looking at him like, do you deal with that? You know what I'm saying? But then I also had. I even almost fought for one of the white homies. We went all the way to North Dakota, and even though we don't say, black people don't say cracker like that. Like, it's not in the movies, it's not a thing. Like, it's not a thing we say. But this dude was cooking my man's. My man's 6'8", 230, from San Dimas, California. He like, I'm cooking your ass, cracker. We're playing North Dakota State, by the way. This is a hockey nice. School, by the way.
Nice.
He's yeah. going to work. Black dude, power forward. Going to work on my college roommate and my teammate. He's like my boy. He's like, nigga, I'm cooking your ass, cracker. I'm like, low-key. And you know how somebody get dunked on? You be like, I'm crying, bro. Because he looks so helpless out there. It's like Shaq Chris Dudley type shit. He's cooking this man. Like, and my coach would not sub him. He would not switch. He just letting that nigga be on slow rotisserie the whole night. He like, yo, y'all better get this cracker off.
Nice.
And I just sit there feeling hopeless, bro. And he's like, hey, Trey, do you feel like we got back to the house, bro? He's like, do you feel like that? I'm like, nah, bro. I don't even talk like that. I'm like, honestly, black people ain't even like, we not even double racist. I call it double racist because it's kind of like, it's hard for us to be racist after like our such rich history of slavery. And we forgiven as fuck. Like, we probably yeah. the most forgiving.
I mean, like, I guess my thing is just like, I think obviously them some crazy ass racist stories. Not really what I was looking for. But funny nonetheless. But I'm just talking about like them funny ass.
But a little bit of racism is humor in it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny. Don't get me wrong, it's funny. But I'm just saying, like that is clearly racist. It's funny, but it's clearly racist. I'm talking about the shit talk that, like, if it were anywhere else, people would say it's racist. But like in the context of a basketball court or a football field or whatever, it's just shit talk. Like when Montrezl Harrell called Luka a punk ass white boy. I remember so many people not were racist. Like, "Oh my god!" I'm like, "That's not racist. That's just basketball. Not racist. Man. Like, that's how people talk to each other."
And he's white.
That's it.
Yeah, I think like any playground. Like
he didn't add a slur to it. Yeah. He just described who he was. He just put punk ass in front of it. Chill, white boy. No, but white boy is taken as offense. It's no, been that way since the beginning of time. It's not bad. But some people be like, I mean, I remember watching White Man Can't Jump. Mm-hmm. And he's saying, oh yeah, I got the white boy. I never took that shit as like, oh, I'm disrespecting somebody. Because if you in the hood and you white and you trying to hoop, you're the white boy.
Dog,
or a nigga might call you a shooter and they even see you shoot. Yeah.
Shooter.
I got Kyle
Corbin. Stockton.
Or Stockton.
Every white point guard that's ever played at any playground in a black neighborhood probably has been called Stockton at some point in time.
Yeah.
Or Mark Price. Mark Price was really popular when I was younger.
Yeah, man. Like that's just it's not. First of all, it can't be racist because black people can't be racist because racism involves a power dynamic too. But also beyond that, it's like it's not even like meant like that. It's just a fucking descriptor. Jerv, what's some funny shit you've heard on the court?
I mean, I've heard the like from heckling of people of players on the court. So going off of what Trey just said, which is wild, I went to a predominantly white high school. So we were the smarter high school than almost all the schools we played against in the Catholic League or whatever the case may be. So, you know, when we played probably more of what I would consider the blacker schools in the Catholic League, there would be a lot of chants that would come from the crowd. When you think about it, it was racist, but it was strategic. It was humorous. We would just do like 2+2 chants and shit like that. You know what I mean? So like, I remember this one time, I was cool. My man came back in town or whatever. My man that left the school or whatever the case may be. I forget why he left. There was rumors of why he left or whatever, but he came back. He went to another school in the Catholic League. He came back and he played, and like they had all types of like F's, like printed out F's and stuff like that, holding up 2+2 chance and like you got kicked out chance and shit like that. And then it ended up being a fight at the end. Cause like, you know, he had his people come or whatever. And it was all these white kids with like fucking, you know, prep out. It was a prep school. So all the prep
you out. You can't even blend in on two levels.
Nah, bro, I chilled. So I knew where this was going. I chilled or whatever. I didn't know his peoples, but they left. And we slapped them, whatever they left. Oh no, it was a close game. He missed the shot to win the game actually. And then like that just set the kids off and his people were leaving and you know the chants kept going and you know punk ass white boy probably was said a couple times and then some fists were thrown and all types of shit. But them shits were hilarious though. Like I didn't think anything of it back then, but it probably was racist like
Drake. Pure comedy, bro. Pure comedy. Yeah, man. I don't know. I just think that shit is funny to me. I don't really take it to fucking heart like that, but it is what it is. I think there is a difference though between the crowd and a player. Like, I feel like if, as a player, you can say whatever the fuck you want. And as a fucking fan, shut the fuck up, because again, that could happen. That's the whole point. It's like you've got no impact on this shit, but you can have an impact on your face if you'd like. Moving on. We're recording this on May 22nd. As we know, the worst day was May 21st. That's when my mama's water burst. It's old Christopher Wallace Biggie Smalls was born on May 21st, 1972. Died March 9th, 1997. 25 years old, a few months shy of his 26th birthday. And here we are. It is a full-ass 50 years since he was born. Kind of crazy because 50 seems super old and not old at all at the same time. I think about guys like Shaq is like in his 50s and Jalen Rose and guys like that. And like Biggie's supposed to be their age. And that's kind of wild. Our friend Justin Tinsley wrote a book. It was all a dream. It's out wherever you get books. It's incredible. I started reading it. He did a lot of research. I talked to him when he was doing this project. It is a bunch of stuff. It's not the typical Biggie story that we all hear or seen the movie or whatever. It is some real, real painstaking research on his childhood, on who he was as a person, stuff that you can't find anywhere else. So definitely give it a read. It'd be nice if Justin were here to kind of sell his own book. But again, he's too famous. He's got to go to the Oprah show and all that shit or whatever the hell he's got to do. But one of the things, I posted a video over the weekend basically saying that, taking credit, I said, look, man, I feel like it's our conversations on this podcast. Because who knows, he probably would have wrote a Tupac book or some shit like that.
But I would have loved that.
Yeah, no, but he wants to sell books, though. He wants to sell copies, though. He wrote a Biggie book. He wrote a Biggie book, and he's going to be successful as a result. I was at my barber shop yesterday. My barber was playing some playlist. I'm like, hey, man, it's May 21st, bro. You got to put on the playlist. And it's funny. You could pick any random Biggie playlist that's out there on Spotify or whatever, and it's like, they're all bangers. There's zero skips, man. And like, I'm like, this dude was 24, 25 years old, 23, 24, 25 years old. And this shit was just so fucking complex, man. It's like, how are people, how do, like, okay, so Trey, you are the most in tap, in tune with the younger crowd than me or Jerv. Like, when they listen to a song like Warning, are they like, oh my God, this is, does it, do they hear like us the way we hear like Grandmaster Flash? Well, I like to rap, but I'm this and that. Is that what they hear?
I don't think so. I think there's actually some young kids that actually, you know, especially Gen Z kids that like rap. And not, I mean, I don't know if Biggie would be considered rap or hip hop. I don't even know, bro, but there's some people that
there's a difference between rap and hip hop.
Absolutely, nigga. It can be gangster rap. There's levels to this shit. You know, but like I like to put, there's lyricism too, because Pac was in the lyricism part. You know what I mean? He was in the motivational part. Like, that nigga was more so, his shit memorable, but like, niggas ain't going to this shit like, oh, that nigga said some lyric shit. Biggie shit is like, will fuck you up still to this day. You be like, oh, it's like watching a movie when you watched it as a kid, and you be like, damn, okay, I didn't really peep. Now I watched it at my big age. And now, you know what I'm saying? So like, even going back, I never really loved Ready to Die. But if I listen to Ready to Die now, especially after I read Justin's book, I've been like, oh, okay, I get it. Cause the beats, again, like, the beats, that was that type of beats from then.
Yeah, for that era. Yeah.
For that era, you know what I'm saying? Beat versus, you know, Life After Death. Life After Death is easily my fave because it was right at that time. Like, the music was progressing to that era. Like, it's getting to that point.
The, you know, soul samples and the, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, and that would age now in this day. But I think they rock with it, bro. Like, I don't think it's none that's really looking at it like on some hip hop. Because I can't fuck with, listen, KRS-One is rightfully so a legend, but I can't fuck with it. I can't fuck with it. Man. It's like watching the NBA pre-merger. I can't fuck with it. I respect them niggas, but nah, I'm cool.
So like, it's like if you show me like a fucking 64 Chevy Impala, some people like that shit. I'm like, that's just an old ass car with no power steering and no fucking AC or whatever, you know? But it's cool. I get it. I respect it. I know what it's about, whatever. Meanwhile, if you look at it like a Tesla, y'all know the Tesla bodies don't change. So a 2015 Tesla looks like a 2022 Tesla. It's just they do software updates. So it's like, there's some shit where it's like, you can't, to me, you can't, I'm like, I'm listening to fucking Warning yesterday. And the part where he says, it's the one to smoke blunts with you, see your picture. Now they want to grab the gats to come and get you. Bet your Biggie won't slip. I got the calico with the black talons loaded in the clip so I could rip through the ligaments. Like, it's like, all that shit is so fucking like the, because it's, to me, there's different levels. One is like the lyricism of like the messaging of what I'm saying, right? Like, am I saying a message? Am I painting a picture? That's one. Like, oh, is the message about uplifting and stuff like that? Is it some gangster shit? Is it some fly shit? Like a fuck bitch shit, whatever. Okay, that's one. Two is like, the delivery, right? Like, can I use wordplay to make the delivery more clever than just, I fuck bitches and I shoot niggas, like, right? Three is, within the wordplay, the fucking playing with the flows and rhythms of, again, betcha Biggie won't slip. I got the calico with the black talent loaded in the clip. Like, so I could rip through the link. Like, all that shit, it's like watching a boxer go jab, jab, then the combo, like that shit, right? So there's rappers where like they do some of that shit or some of this shit over here. But to me, for my money, it's only a handful of people who do it all. The flow, the cadence, the fucking messaging, the picture you're painting, the vocabulary, the wordplay, all of that shit, man. Even like simple fucking dumbass Biggie lines like, now, who's the real Dookie? I mean, who's really the shit? right? Like, it's, that's a fucking dumb line.
I like that.
But it's fucking genius. Exactly.
No, like, but at the beginning, it was one of those, as much as we complain about current, it was one of those ahead of those time. Super like ahead easy, of easy, like, oh, he said it. Oh my God, that's so fucking funny, but also clever.
Yep.
You know what I mean? That opened the door for these rappers now to say some bullshit. Like Lil Wayne would say some shit like, bitch, I'm the shit like it. Get it?
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? You're like, okay, that was kind of funny and it stuck with me. So, you know, like lobbying that up and kind of creating that type of flow was dope.
I also like, oh, was that in our chat with the Cassidy thing? Was the
yes.
Cassidy thing in
yes.
that?
Yes.
Okay, so I like that Biggie would fucking drop these crazy lines, and like, unlike Wayne, who like, get it, I made a line, like, he doesn't have to point his shit out. It's just, did you catch it or you didn't catch it? Maybe you'll catch it 10 years from now. Maybe you'll catch it 25 years from now. Maybe after I'm dead, you'll catch it, right? Or maybe you caught it the first time. That's how Biggie drops his fucking punchlines and stuff. Now, I want to transition here. I know it's Biggie's birthday, but like, I feel like we do these once a year, every year. So y'all get it. Y'all know. You get it. We're going to talk about our favorite songs and our favorite verses and all that stuff. That's all cool. But I do want to talk about this Cassidy shit, man, because that's the funniest shit I've seen in so long. The way this thing, and Jerv, as native son of Philadelphia, you know, you're going to have to come to the stage and you're going to have to defend what we saw, where Cassidy is almost begging a crowd of very uninterested Negroes to respect his punchlines, where he's like, where was the one who's like, yo, I'm married to the Glock, da, da, da. And then later on he's like, I go to bed with my wife, and then he will repeat that shit over and over again. Jerv, what do you have to say for you, man?
I felt real bad watching it because his latter years of his career have not treated him well at all. And I think it sucks because Cassidy was really, really nice at one point in time, and he had bangers. He had a run where he was constantly on the charts, but like a lot of artists, he hasn't, you know, he had the transition to now has not done him any justice. And, you know, I don't really think niggas really want to hear all that. That wasn't he didn't play his audience. You know what I mean? Like, that, I don't really think that was the punchline audience.
But who's the audience? Because it was.
But
it
the lines like were the trash. Most... Like, there really wasn't an audience saying. For that shit. But I mean that wasn't like that. He was up there battle rapping, like, you know what I mean, kind of sort of like he was doing like that type shit, and that looked like it was a fucking press conference. Niggas don't want to hear that shit at no press conference.
That was Cosmic Kev, right?
That was Cosmic Kev with all that. Audience, right?
No,
there?
I think it's Bars I-95. I'm not sure.
Bars I-95. Yeah. Let me play it for the listeners. Hold on.
I ball, but I ain't trying to drive a Kia. So I'm running after the green like vegans with diarrhea.
Hold on, let me play the full one. That was the one liner there. Like vegans with diarrhea. Like, and he said that shit so confidently, like he just fucking killed the game with that one. Hold on, here it is. All right, shout out to Wayno, by the way, for posting this.
What I'm about to say, but listen, man, I told these niggas, it's lonely at the top, but when you at the top, you don't need a loan. It's lonely at the top, but when you at the top, you don't need a loan. Fuck a job. I make enough to survive off weed alone. I'm married to the ratchet I carry. I never leave a home. And every night I sleep with my wife. I never sleep alone. I'm married to the ratchet I carry. I never leave a home. And every night I sleep with my wife.
Talk, nigga.
I'm trying to leave out that deal.
Yo, it's painful to watch, man. Because like you could see the zero reaction and the nigga like looking around the crowd searching for one like sympathetic soul to be like, yeah, nigga, I got it. Like, this nigga gets it. But it's not because nobody got it, it's because the bars were whack.
Yeah, it wasn't too complex. I caught what he was saying the first time around. You know what I mean? He didn't need to run it back for me. I definitely understood what he was trying to say. I can't defend this one. You know, sometimes you guys just let it be known the city fucked up with that one.
But Trey, I feel like Trey, you are always like the compassionate one. You be seeing the other side of things. Y'all have to remember this, that, and the other. Trey,
because niggas is really barred up right now, bro. And that's not barred up. He's not Ransom. He's not Stole Guy Cooks. Like, it's some niggas that really got it right now that really be rapping. That ain't it, Cass. I don't even think that flies in 05. Because he said harder shit than that in the past. Like, him saying he tucking the gat, like, he never, and he sleep with it under the pillow, like, that's like watching a dunk contest and watching a nigga go between the legs right now.
It wasn't even that, though. But, Trey, that's not even between the legs. This is like a nigga going up for, like, a windmill. Like, a regular-ass windmill.
Okay. Like, I mean, I'm just saying, the only reason why I use the between the legs because, like, niggas is doing so much with between the legs now.
Sure. Niggas are doing a lot of that shit. But also, this nigga was not doing that, though. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, on one level, the levels have gone up. You're right. The bar levels have gone up. But on the other level, like you just said, like, even in 2005, this shit wouldn't be hot, man.
Wait. You guys have both said the bars have gone up. Are you trying
The battle rappers. We're not talking about, like, in music.
Oh, okay. Woo. Woo, Lord Jesus.
This nigga, man.
You guys scared me for a second.
So... No Cassidy, no help for Cassidy, no lifelines for Cassidy. Sorry, Cass. Maybe next time. But moving on, we get to the Atlanta season finale.
Man, that shit called Europe FX.
Yeah, it's another episode in Europe. Now we're in France. Van's friend from the Drake party is out with her homegirls in France. She's explaining how this dude flew her out so she could pee on him. She gets paid 6 racks to do it. She flew her friends out. They're going to have a good old time, whatever. While they're out there just having some drinks on a sidewalk cafe, she sees Van. Van is wearing a wig and talking in French. And when she talks in English, she has a French accent. And she pretends like she's French. Pretends at first she doesn't recognize her, then recognizes her and calls her Condice, and then they go on this wild adventure, and it ends up with motherfuckers eating hands at some rich people dinner with Alexander Skarsgård, the dude from True Blood, and a bunch of other movies or whatever. And turns out she had like some sort of nervous breakdown. And I have so many thoughts. I feel like the hand thing was another Brown Mirror episode that they try to wedge it in, because like we can't have a whole episode with just a character from the show. But that aside, Jerv, I know you on my side on, like, it's not that we don't like the Brown Mirror episodes. It's just like that's not this show. Did you feel satisfied with an episode that was all about Van?
No, because I didn't sign up to watch about her. No disrespect.
Wow. So you don't consider Van to be part of like the main?
No, like, it's not that. Not that. But like, she's had nothing really to do with this season outside of like little spots. I felt like she could have had a spot in the season finale, but the main characters are the ones that the season finale, I feel like, should at least involve. It shouldn't just be all a sub character in the show. That's like the season finale of Sopranos just being all fucking
Carmella.
Yeah, like not even like fucking Christopher, yeah, like Carmella or some shit.
Yeah.
That'd be some mid. Like, nobody wants to see that. And then she's beating everybody up with fucking baguettes and shit. Or whatever are they called?
It's a baguette, yeah.
Baguette. Her friends are about to get they're about to have an orgy with my man from True Blood. Like, it's it's getting like it's, I don't.
Trey, what about you, man? Did you feel like this is a sufficiently Atlanta episode for you, or do you, are you like Jerv? You feel like this is, if it's got to be Paperboy and Earn and Darius for you to be an Atlanta episode?
My nigga, this shit left me, like, again, you normally dub me as the nice nigga to say nice things. I had nothing nice to say about this entire season, bro. Like, I'm so confused. Like, this season of Atlanta is one of those, like, you don't even have to watch, like, episode 1 to 10. You can pick one at this point.
Well, yeah.
And I felt no like, story. Honestly, yep. And I felt honestly whether he got, you know, he allowed different writers and different outlooks on different things. Cool, whatever. His reach back, he was able to give George Wallace a look. A couple people in there. Shout out to that. But overall, this shit is completely something we did not sign up for 1 and 2. We enjoyed 1 and 2 because we got to laugh. We had relatable content. I feel like it was almost trolling us as the viewers to still tap in and get those numbers still and say, I bet they still watch. You know what I mean? Like, no yeah. matter how it was, you know what I'm saying? And to this point of like, I don't need a think piece. I don't need a deeper moment. I'm Black. It's not a teachable moment for me. I tapped into this show originally because it was a Black show. You know what I mean? That told Black stories that are relatable. And now in this situation, it's like, he's either poking fun at the experience of Europe or he's poking fun at what has gone on and how to flip the narrative on, you know, white consumers. And whatever it is, I'm not marking him a genius on it. I'm not saying it was like bad or to that point, but it's not for me. And it's probably not for us in general. We continue to give this show our attention more than we should have. And I can't say if it's picked up for a number 4 that I'm in it for it.
Wow, they push you to the limit, Trey.
I just think it's not a heavy loaded show where you got to commit an hour to. I think an hour really is a full commitment. 27 to 33 minutes isn't crazy, but like for me to be kind of scratching my head and watching it the whole time was like, all right, my nigga. You feel me? And the last time I ever seen that experience where niggas cover their face, and I think he was poking fun maybe at Europe and stuff like that because it reminds me of Billions when they ate the bird heads and shit.
Right.
For the experience, but they were now actually eating hands and shit, whatever. But niggas don't do that shit, man. Like, we watching some shit like, Black people was watching that shit like, what the fuck? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like every Black user was like, what the fuck? Nobody said, oh, how deep that was, where Van didn't even know who she really was. I too relate with that. Like, you got that? Like, living as someone else to get to where you want to figure out? Like, is that the message? But, like, I'm not watching that for that, nigga. We're the funny shit. We here for, you know, the nigga Paper Boy. Who is it? What's this nigga's name?
Darius.
Darius,
you know what I'm saying? Like, we here for them niggas, bro. All this other right. shit. Where we didn't even see how the niggas became famous. I mean, I don't care if he made another song or not, whatever. But now we're on this European tour and we're bouncing around character to character. Now we in the States. Now we here. Now we there. Like, it was just, it was hard to consume, you know what I'm saying? And I don't know. Again, he might win a bunch of awards. I don't know, for however it was shot, but like, take us out the committee, because nigga, we would bash the shit.
Yeah, man. It's kind of crazy, man. Wait, really is.
I'm sorry. No, so you would you feel like if someone was to ask you, because I'm really about to defend this shit and I don't understand why. Because I don't think the shows are bad.
The most unlikely of heroes. John
Derman. Wait, because I don't think the shows are bad, right? Like, so like I think this just doesn't, it's not what the fuck we signed up for. But if it's up for awards and shit like that, you would say like you would be on the negative side of it because it's, you would be on the negative side and not.
I just wouldn't be a voter. I mean, okay. I get it, where it's like listening to Kendrick's album right now, right? I love Kendrick. I relate to that content. But for me or you to say it's okay, I'm not going to throw a pity party over it. Because I don't expect niggas to be like, all right, cool. You know what I mean? Because niggas like, I ain't trying to hear about no fucking therapy session. I got my own problems. You feel me? Or I ain't trying to hear about that shit. And I get it. It's subjective. But at this point, yeah, I feel that way about this show. I'm not saying it is fucking garbage, but like, nigga,
not for you.
I cannot fuck with it. I didn't sign up for that. I want to laugh, nigga. I'm dealing with a lot of shit in the world already. So the fact that I come and give you 30 minutes of my time to sit on my couch and consume this shit, I don't need a teachable moment or to troll white people.
Yo, I love this version of Trey. It was just fucking...
It's very rare, but like
Trey just I have a very I gotta go golfing. I've got a very you wasting my fucking time with this bullshit.
Oh man, look, I woke up this morning. It's a lot of shit that just I woke up early this morning to watch F1. My GOAT ain't driving, he ain't performing well. It's a lot, bro. That's just happening right now.
Hey, brother, I just want to tell you, I know we mentioned your fit earlier. But since we went back into you brought up the F1. Hey, I'll tell you this, bro. You are a trendy gentleman. You know what I'm saying? Like I now look at you on Twitter or Instagram, and I see what the fits are that people are rocking. You had the long coat John on. I said, this man is officially like he's officially like a fashionable New York person now. Like this ain't no nigga from Compton no more. This is definitely fashionable individual. No
nigga from Compton.
I got cooked in the group chat. First of all, I woke up slander. They said I had vibes. It was crazy.
No,
I went to shouts to TJ and Pops. Right, I went to Nigeria.
Oh, you went to the Nigeria versus Ghana?
Yeah, the real jollof. And shouts to Jalal too. I had never had that before. That shit was very
fun. For real? How do you feel?
I didn't get a chance to vote, but I had chicken and shrimp. Both were very tasty. Good spices. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, I ain't a lot of African homies back in Compton. I'm Ethiopian though, so I got to Ethiopian listeners tap in with me. No, I'm saying Ethiopian listeners tap in with me so I can get familiar with my culture. You feel me?
Yo, my nigga got the yo,
you are the nigga that just found out he got like 3.5% yo, tap in with me. I love it.
You know what's crazy? You know what's crazy? Shouts to Master. Master actually sent me a 23andMe back in early 2020. And I finally use it. Yeah, bro. I'm 70% Ethiopian. But I still need to tap in my culture. I'm from Eastside Compton first. And then, you know, I'm Ethiopian after. But overall, it was a great experience, man. They was dueling out, bro. And I was there because it rained that day. I had on a completely different outfit, but I got soaked. So I had to change, and I put my Oxford tan, Burberry trench on. And I'm in there low-key overdressed. You feel me? But I got my shit. I'm walking up, and you know how people, I don't know if you see the new trend where people be like, tell me what you got on. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? And they filming you. So this girl come up to me. You know, she's like, oh, I just love your fit. Can I get it? And what's your Instagram? And I'm like, bruh, like, I'm really just trying to say what's up to the homie. You feel me? Like, but yeah, this is, you know, I got, you know, she wanted me to tell the price. I couldn't do that because I'm trying to tell her myself. But I told her a little shit on camera. Then I slid, and I took that picture. And when I took that picture, I looked back at it and niggas just cropped my homie out and just put me and threw me in a group chat and was like, look at this nigga. But COVID is still alive and well. So yes, I'm wearing my mask out in public. I had a hoodie on and I had my trench, some jeans and the J Kids.
Nice.
But it's a rainy day fit, Jerv. And I thank you that you think highly of my fashion. I'd like to think I'm the best dressed nigga from Compton. Now I surpassed Kendrick Lamar and YG. But
why he just wears red all the time, right? Like,
and he's tapped in a little bit where he's trying to wear this designer stuff, but it just doesn't look good. Like, he's wearing like a fucking cardigan with some like shorts that's above his knees and some loafers, and it's just like, nigga, that's a lot, bro. Like, I understand niggas getting money, and then Kendrick could wear like some cowboy boots, maybe some designer pants, a crazy ass shirt that has fringe, and then his hair kind of crazy. And it's like, all right, but I don't think he like on a cold level. Like, them niggas don't care. They wearing expensive shit, but they also just don't care. Like, they like, fuck it, I'm outside. I had to be here. If it was my choice, nigga, I would be on my couch, but I had to be here. So I'm going to throw something on. That's what them two niggas be moving like. You know what I'm saying? They're disgustingly rich and just have to be out in society every blue moon. Like that nigga's in Ghana with fucking white pants on. Like, yeah. He's like, I was like, playing what is people. This? Playing fucking. And that's the funny shit about it. He's a little nigga. That nigga's like 5'5", but he's athletic. Tiny, Kendrick a nigga who know how to do a backflip. For real? Yeah.
What is it with these rappers that were in gymnastics, man?
I mean, Meek's another one. He's not in gymnastics, but like he's just a hood little nigga. Like he really is a hood little nigga. Like he fast.
Like, Olu from fucking Earth Gang is another one.
Yeah, the niggas is crazy, bro. I mean, Jid was a wide receiver.
Where?
He little. He was in high school.
What high school was this? Munchkin High School?
You gotta tap in, bro. He was solid. He was solid, I heard.
Hold on. Let me go listen.
But yeah, thank you, Jer, for your compliments, man. I'm glad that I'm impressing you. I feel like anytime I get a compliment in New York City, I'm right there where I need to be. Because I consider these niggas the niggas to know how to dress.
Hey, bro.
They're fashion forward here.
Hey, listen.
Just don't be coming out with no fucking Russell Westbrook.
Nah, we not. Listen, we not Zest. No Zest in my feet.
I better not see your nipples ever on the Instagram.
Big tail right beneath your ass cheek and shit.
Hey, listen, brother. Listen, brother. I'll tell you this now.
One leather glove.
First of all, no selfies, no puckered lips, no netted shirts. Listen, man. I will never reach that part of fame ever, my nigga. I had to take a look back. I caught myself questioning Devin Booker for winning league fits, right? And I was like, damn, who am I saying that he has a bad fit? It wasn't that it was a bad fit, but I just questioned, like, yo, he got too much money to be dressing like he's still from Mississippi. Like, wow. he had a chance to steal, like,
this nigga John. Said that. This nigga Trey said that and instantly grew like a cane in his hand and a top hat. Nigga looking like Farnsworth Bentley. No.
This Look, nigga makes too much like money dressing like that. Like
from G's to Gents reboot,
bruh. He's wearing like a baggy shirt, some baggy pants, and like some Chucks, and it's like
this shit is back in apparently.
I mean, it is. It's. I would see myself in one of those fits, but just how he put it on, whoever styled him, or whoever just gave him the batch of clothes, like it's like, oh, I got some money, and now I'm gonna just go buy some shit that don't fit.
If any of y'all athletes out there and y'all looking at y'all fits and you're saying, yo, my fit
do
is
I
trash.
Look crazy?
Holler at my man Trayvon, you know what I'm saying? For the right price, he can definitely style your fit and get you right and you'll be on the cover.
I would not be styling anybody, bro. Listen, I do not want nobody looking like me.
One of one.
I like showing up to the situation with my millionaire friends, bro, and being the brokest nigga around, but looking fly. You know what I mean?
Alive.
I'm the brokest of the group, bro. And I still pull up, you know, put that shit on. Call me Mr. Put It On.
Too funny. All right. Well, on that note, we'll call it a wrap right here. Remember, patreon.com/countthedings. Make sure you're signed up. Make sure you're getting the overflows. We're going to talk We Own This City. Also, the watch-alongs for the playoffs, for the movies. One of those is coming up pretty soon. All that good shit. For Black Trey, for Big Jerv, I'm Amino Hassan saying stay black, motherfucker.